or ask for questions. But you know, throughout the week, I speak to many of you. And during these conversations, many things come up. And sometimes they come up more than one time from different individuals. People have questions which they many times are afraid to ask about. And I see no reason for not discussing anything that we are having difficulty with. So tonight we're going to discuss the creative force. But before we do this, I was sent something today that I want to share with you. It's entitled The True Teacher. The true teacher is that one who, having no need to come for my sake, came, having no need to remain for my sake, remains, and who, having no need to go, will for my sake go, who rocks me to sleep and at the same time awakens me, makes me blind and at the same time sharpens my sight, and removes my ignorance by making me know nothing, who without admonition makes me aware of my shortcomings, without urging me to effort awakens and sustains my interest, and rewards me without letting my ego become inflated, who puts on a coat when it is cold and takes it off when it is hot, satisfies hunger and thirst in the same way as I do, but does not sleep as I sleep, but watches for me my sleeps of unconsciousness, who in every way in everyday life acts like an ordinary man, is easily pleased and hurt, but being beyond pleasure and pain suffers as no one else can suffer, and whose bliss shines through his suffering, who is the father of children he has never begotten, the mother who never brought forth with labor, the brother and friend who sees no one but himself, who is the goal and its revelation and the pathway to it, and the path treader who treads no path any whither because he is where he is and has never been anywhere else, who in fact is the supreme reality but appears to my eyes as very man, to my mind as rightness, and to my heart as the ineffable beloved who may be approached and attained. It's a very beautiful thing. And here's another wonderful prayer. And all of us should take heed of what this says, because sometimes we get on a merry-go-round and we forget to get off. Slow me down, Lord. Ease the pounding of my heart by quieting my mind. Steady my hurried pace. Give me calmness amidst the confusion of my day. Break the tension of my nerves with soothing music that lives in my memory. Help me to know the magical, restoring powers of sleep. Teach me the art of taking minute vacations, of slowing down to chat with a friend, to read a good book, to look at a flower. Remind me each day of the fable of the hare and the tortoise, that I may know that there is more to life than speed. Let me look upward toward the branches of the towering oak, and remember that it grew great and strong because it grew slowly. Slow me down, Lord. Slow me down. I want to read a chapter out of Ephesians. It's chapter 5. And it's quite lengthy, but I want you to listen to this and to absorb it while I'm reading it. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given himself for us as an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, Let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself, for no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. Then there is another one. This is Hebrews chapter 13. Let brotherly love continue. Be not forgetful to entertain strangers, for thereby some have entertained angels unawares. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled. But whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. So that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever. Now there is a lot in those two chapters. Above all, I want to point out that marriage is an honorable estate and the bed undefiled. There are, because of the teachings which come from the East, this includes our masters, it includes Ram Dass's, it includes many of the masters of the East. There are many who are married who have a great deal of difficulty with this idea of physical relations, even with their husbands, because they are taught that celibacy is the thing which they must attain, and they feel that they must attain this now. Now, Rome wasn't built in a day, and neither does man attain his God realization overnight. So what has been set before us is the ultimate in attainment, but no one expects anyone to attain that state overnight, because it is an unrealistic demand on a human being. We come up from the dust, so to speak. We go through evolution after evolution and incarnation after incarnation. There is something that also was sent to me, which I think is very good here. Striving to be man, the worm mounts through all spires of form. This was written by Emerson. Then I believe it was Tennyson who said, "The Lord let the house of a brute to the soul of a man." And the man said, "Am I your debtor?" And the Lord, "Not yet, but make it as clean as you can, and then I will let you a better." So what we have to keep in mind is this, that when we are on the spiritual path, we cannot possibly continue on in the way of the flesh under the law, in the same way that we did before we were aware of the Spirit, and expect to attain this spiritual virginity, the state of chastity which comes as man treads his way to the infinite. But this control is not gained in a day, as I say. And the thing that I want to bring out above all things else is that marriage is an honorable state and the bed is undefiled. Therefore, we need not build any guilt complexes. This is the greatest damage that can be done in marriage. This ideal which is set before us without any factual facing of the things which man has to deal with, has to combat within himself, is just plain not good sense. Because man evolves through all of these various stages, then he comes to the state where he is born a human being. But because his consciousness is still separated from God, he, it says, is born in a state of sin or separation. He has not yet reached his state of divinity. And until he reaches that state, he is functioning in the animal state. Because certainly man, when he concentrates on sex as such, is not being what he should be as a divine individual. Now, sex in itself is a very ugly thing, because it is sordid, it is based, it is It encourages man's lust. It encourages the baser part of his nature. And this must be overcome. It must be overcome. Because don't forget that every time you lose the life essence from your body, it takes you 7 days to recover that, to regain it, and to become normal again. Just think of the people who insist on being with their husbands or their wives every day of the week. And I know some people like this. Actually, I have dealt with students with whom this was true. Now, this is certainly not living a spiritual life, and you cannot serve God and mammon too. Marriage is a perfectly beautiful thing. Physical relationship with your husband and with your wife is a thing of exquisite beauty if you will keep it on a high spiritual level, making this coming together an absolute minimum to satisfy the natural urge of your body when it can no longer contain. But it must not be made a plaything. You must not give in to every woman's desire. Somebody asked Papa once about birth control, what he thought of it, and he said what was needed was not birth control but self-control. And this is so because we are on the way to self-mastery, and we must know that. But we must not beat ourselves. We must not flagellate ourselves. We must not punish ourselves with ideas of guilt when we are married, and marriage is an honorable state and the bed undefiled. This should not be. But don't forget that it says in this chapter that the wife should be subject to her husband in everything, even as Christ, the church is subject to Christ. Now, the average person reading that will immediately think that this gives him license in the field of sex, and this is not true. Because what it is pointing out there is that man should regard his wife as an expression of the Divine Mother, and she in turn should regard her husband as an expression of the Lord. And what it means to serve is to be subservient. And when you have this perfect thing between you of seeing only God in each of you, of taking care of your physical needs, but when you do, of coming together as though it were a wonderful privilege, then you raise it, you lift it up out of the animal state, and you put it into a far different category. This is the way that the physical union should be between husband and wife, because it is the giving of yourself one to the other. And marriage is a holy sacrament. It is given to us but for one purpose. That is that through this union, this physical union, that we might find the perfect expression of our love, which is a child. How fortunate we are that we have this gift of God. And this is necessary because if we believe in the law of reincarnation, then all of these souls that are evolving have to be reborn. They have to be reincarnated so that they may continue their journey to God. That's why we have marriage. Otherwise, we could contain within ourselves. Now, you see, the Bible is written so that the man in the street, the average person who is moral and who wants to study the Bible and to be a good man or a good woman, can go to that Bible and can get help and instruction under the law. And while we are in the state of householders, in the beginning, truly, we are under the law. And so, therefore, we abide by what it says in there in the exoteric sense. But gradually, as we climb the spinal stairway of spiritual consciousness, we realize that there is a deeper meaning in this Bible. Just like Christ said that to his apostles, it was are given to know the truth, but to others in parables. And as you climb higher into your spiritual consciousness, you realize the true meaning of what is in there in the spirit, and it is far different than that which you realized when you were still operating under the law. Now, the husband in each individual, whether it be man or woman, is wisdom, and the wife is feeling. And so the feeling is subject to wisdom and should be controlled by wisdom at all times. You see the difference, what a different meaning it takes on as you realize the deeper meaning, because God created from Himself. Why do we think creation is such a terrible thing in so many cases? Why do we not teach our children right from the beginning about the true meaning of creation, about themselves, and about their whole nature as human beings? So much trouble, so much suffering would be avoided. And one thing that we should absolutely fail to do, and that is to lay too much stress on sex with regard to our teaching our children. Because while they should be taught, that this creative urge within themselves should be retained, and that they should fix their attention upon the Lord. They should be taught to meditate. Because many times, as all little children come across certain things, and they have a natural curiosity, and there are few indeed who do not have some experience along this line. But if you make a big thing out of it, either they will resent it, or you will create such a tremendous amount of curiosity in their minds that they will pursue it in order to find out what it's all about. And this is not right. In the olden days, you know, it was thought to be a sin even to think of sex. And yet all creation as such is that way. The Father God united with the Mother, who is also God. God as Spirit, the Father, united with the Mother as nature, reason and feeling, wisdom and feeling. One is a projecting force and the other is a magnetic force. And from that union, all of this was created, including ourselves. It's a tremendous thing to think of. And yet we shy away from the discussion of it, and we make it sordid and dirty, and this should not be. Because man should be taught that he can be master of himself, and that the union should be within himself. And when you finally realize that this union that is spoken of is actually the union of wisdom and of feeling within yourself, that truly, in each man and each woman, that Christ is the bridegroom, and that we are all virgins before Him, waiting for the day which comes when we can be wedded unto that Holy One within ourselves, then it takes on a very, very different meaning. You see, man has this projecting force, and he has come to think of himself as having special prerogatives, and this is not so. Because God made man and He made woman. Male and female made He them. And the Ten Commandments apply to men just the same as they do to women. Women have physical urges the same as men do, and yet they are restrained because of the burden of creation which they must carry within their beings. And it seems that more shame comes upon them. This is not the way it was meant to be in the beginning, because God created from His own mind, from His own feeling. But man creates in the animal state. That's why he is said to be the old Adam, the old man. But Jesus, the Savior, is constantly striving to save the individual from the sin of separation from God. But it says that Jesus fell. Now we have come to think of this fall as being is happening in the one day when we think Jesus wended his way up the hill of Golgotha and was crucified. And this is not so. The Savior is that one in every man, that infinite intelligence which tries to take man back to his source so that there will be no separation, there will be no duality, but that he will live in the consciousness of the Christ as he originally did before the fall. Then, and then alone, he becomes the Christed one, the anointed one, that one who has risen above all the things which are human, who is able to have control over the five senses, and who has risen into that state where he can go into the silence of his own soul and contact the source of his own being, that gentle presence that stands there weeping because man is so blind in his ignorance that he will not take the greatness, the glory that is offered to him, and he settles for bodies. Now it is extremely important to keep this physical urge at a minimum when you rise to this higher spiritual path, because the higher you go, the petals of your spine, you see, are all, through the magnetic force drawing them to God, are all turned upward. And as you know, when you indulge in physical relations, then the whole force in your body goes downward into the earth, and this force is lost, the very essence is lost from your being. And so you suffer terrifically when you are in a high spiritual state if this happens to you, because these petals, which were all turned upward, are then turned down again, you see. And so, because you have the two forces opposing each other again, and again Jesus, the Savior within you, has fallen, you suffer for it. We are constantly looking for peace. We search for it every place. And we think we're going to get it through the possession of things, of positions, of loved ones, of this and that, but the peace is within yourself, and it can be made and retained only by yourself. If you lose your peace, no one else is to blame but yourself, because you should be able to control yourself in all directions. And gradually, as you keep practicing this, you will do it. As man and wife come together in this holy union and feel the wonder of becoming one because they love each other, it is a tremendous experience. And even that experience can be lifted into a high state of spirituality. And then when the body is at peace for the moment afterward, lie in each other's arms and speak of God. And again, raise your consciousness to a higher level. And as this happens, you will find that your whole being is uplifted, and the urge to create or to dispel this force in the other way gradually leaves you. Now, there are few people in the beginning who want to do this because they think they're being deprived of something. Of what are they being deprived? They are being deprived of the very force which they could use to create worlds, to become masters of themselves. You can take this creative force, you can reverse it, and you can take it up your spine, and you can contain it within your being. And through the power which you hold within yourself, you can be the greatest success this world has ever known. You can become an artist. You can become an author. You can become a musician. You can become the greatest businessman. Why? Because in balance, you have kept this force within yourself. But it must be on a gradual basis. Do not suppress these emotions when you are married because somebody has told you you must live in a state of celibacy. This has to be attained gradually. Don't forget this, because this can be as harmful in that way as it can be harmful when you are in the high spiritual state and then you fall from that state. So occasionally come together, but try to keep it at a minimum. And when this is necessary, for heaven's sakes, don't feel guilty about it. Don't feel guilty about it. This is the meaning of marriage together. The satisfaction of the creative force. It is the basis for your relationship one with the other, but let it not be the only basis. Learn to revere and to respect each other. It is the truth that is told about Ananda Moy Ma in India, that when she was young, she was betrothed to this man whom she loved very much. And yet when he tried to take her in his arms after the marriage, he received nothing but electrical shocks on his body, and she was willing to conform, not knowing what she was. And yet he could not touch her. Why? Because she was so filled with the electrical spirit of God that this was literally an impossibility. Time after time, an effort was made, and yet the result was the same at all times. Finally, the man realized that he was married to a God woman. And he bowed down at her feet and became her disciple. And they have lived together in that manner ever since. And this woman has gone on in all the higher realms of spiritual development. And today she is probably the greatest living saint in India now that Papa has gone, because she is renowned all over. She has 14 ashrams in India. And the work that she does in taking all of these people to God, of awakening them to what they can be, to their spiritual stature, is absolutely tremendous. Now, this is very different from being born in ignorance. And in the olden days, our parents certainly didn't talk to us in the way that we should have been talked to. Many of us were taught in ways that were not even healthy. Some children have even come up with the idea that they will become pregnant if they kiss each other. Now, this is an extreme, don't you see? And this is why proper education is needed. But if you will use this creative urge within yourself to create brain children, as Master says, not today, not tomorrow, but on a gradual basis, and as you are able to overcome, then all of these things will be made possible for you. But if you are married, do not refuse one or the other within reason, within balance. And don't forget that Master taught us in everything that we should use balance, physically, mentally, spiritually. There are some who work too much. There are some who read too much. And there are some who just become fanatics in God. Now that is the greatest way to go off balance, there is no doubt, and yet that can be dangerous too. So we must go up constantly, but balanced on these three levels. Always balanced on these three levels. Man has been created equal all over the world. Every single man has the earth for its mother, for his mother. There is no exception. Biologically, we are all of one pattern, male and female. We are all the same. We have the same taste. We are all going in the same direction. God didn't create us or bring forth his creation in one way, in one part of the world or in one part of the universe, and another in another part. It is all going out. There is creation, there is preservation, and there is the change, the breaking up, or the death, if you will. And yet, if you will learn to contain this force within yourself, within reason, there is nothing that you cannot accomplish, but the greatest thing that you can do is to become master of yourself, because that self-mastery is needed before you can have oneness with God. You must be completely pure, physically, mentally, and spiritually. In other words, this is the highest state of virginity, and it is something with which you are not born, but something which must be attained, because man in his original state of sin, or the old Adam, where Abel and Cain fight and one kills the other, is in a sorry state in the beginning, and he must go through all of the necessary experiences. You know, we are always trying to get away from this adversary, and yet we don't realize that this is absolutely necessary for our growth and our development, because without it we would not develop within ourselves the power of overcoming. We are all dependent one upon the other. This is one world, one world, and man must not fear the things that are going to happen in the world, but rather that he must fear the destruction of his own peace, which he brings upon himself through his own wrong actions. This is what makes him feel filled with the tamasic quality of melancholy, of moodiness, of anger, of striking out at people and things and situations. It is all within himself, because he has lost his own peace. And remember that it says that Jesus came not to bring peace but a sword. What does this mean? It means that he knew the path that he was going to tread, and that it wasn't going to be an easy one, that he had to fight his way up. It was not a thing of just harmony every minute, because harmony is something which we have to work for, and no one else can give it to us. We have to get it ourselves through our own efforts, and then maintain it in the same way. Nobody can take your peace away from you. Nobody can hurt you unless you give them power to do so through your own acceptance of that. Don't forget that. Instead of gods, we have become groveling worms in the dust. And yet it says here that we start as worms, and we go through all the forms until we become man, and then we become God. This is an absolute necessity. What I'm telling you in simple terms is that I don't want you to fret and to stew and to worry and to feel guilty because you are with your husbands and your wives, providing, and there is this provision, that you keep it at a minimum, that you are well balanced, because this, it says in the Bible, is not sinful. It is not sinful. But strive always for that higher attainment. Strive for the birth of the Christ child within yourself. This is the greatest birth, the greatest awakening. When that Christ is born within yourself, you have a new body in Christ. The bones of your body change. Every single cell in your body changes. Your consciousness changes. And it is a painful process, there can be no doubt, because it is the crucifixion on your own cross, which is your body. And you feel the pricks. Remember that it also says, Paul, you cannot stand against the pricks. Christ said this to Paul on the road to Damascus. What do these pricks mean? They are the electrical currents or charges which the spiritual aspirant feels as he wends his way up through these various spinal centers. And you actually feel this. It's a painful process, because with this new rebirth, your whole being changes. And so there is a physical reaction from the spiritual development which you are going through. Every time you get spiritual realization, you must pay a price for it. There must be a change made. A purification within your own being must take place. Otherwise, you cannot climb to that higher state. And you cannot, on one hand, say, Lord, I want oneness with Thee. You are all I want. Give me union. And at the same time being subject to all of these other wants and lusts and desires, the pattern of the lower man within yourself. You cannot possibly do it. And this is the danger in practicing Raja Yoga, which is Master's path, the royal yoga. If you do not live the life along with it, because you bring suffering upon yourself. And the more that you do this, the greater you suffer, and the more you blame everybody and everything else besides yourself, when the fault lies all in here. And yet we cannot call it a fault, because man must evolve slowly. He can only evolve as God grants him the grace, the wisdom, and the strength to evolve. And when you think of it in the absolute state, it is God Himself who has projected Himself from Himself, who maintains Himself out here in the state of preservation, acting and reacting His Leela, and then gradually it is He Himself who, knowing that He needs to take on a new garment, sheds this one. And then the state of change or death takes place. But still, you can conquer even death in this form if you will contain within yourself. Is death actually a thing to be feared? Certainly God gives us our life, and only He has the right to take it. Man must never destroy himself. This is the greatest sin. And it is said that he lives in chambers of darkness for incarnations until he earns the privilege of rebirth into the state of humanhood again. This should never be. But actually, if we keep on trying, if we keep on trying constantly, we will overcome this death, which comes as a blessed relief in the lower state. As the body grows old, it needs that release. I remember a vision that I had in New York, where the phrase in the Bible of being given eternal life kept coming to me all the time. And yet I saw these things pass before me in vision that the Buddha had seen as he walked out of the palace grounds. I saw old age, I saw sickness, and I saw death. And I thought how terrible it would be if we were deprived of death before we had risen to that high estate. How terrible it would be if man was condemned to eternal life under the law, having to suffer always without relief. This would be awful. But as he rises above the law, as he rises above the state of human consciousness into the divine, then indeed he has eternal life, and he is no longer subject to the power of duality. While these things gird him and surround him, still he is able to rise above them and to an almost entire degree be unaffected by them. Swami Vivekananda said once that it was wonderful to embrace death, and that man must embrace death, but when he once did, he was no longer interested in staying in the body. Don't forget that death is the opposite of life. Life is also part of duality. And yet that life, which is a blessed privilege to have, which is light itself, if we will but make it so, is the opportunity, the stepping stone for the true seeing of the kingdom, the power, and the glory of God, of finding out what we are. Why do we not find what we want to be, what we want to do, and shake the world up until we are able to accomplish this? Do not be afraid, do not be shy, but try to do it. And the Lord who is within you and all around you will walk before you. His gentle presence will guide you. If you will but listen to the voice of your intuition, which is His voice, you will not make any mistakes. You will learn to live in truth. You will learn to get a different set of values. And you'll become, in truth, the Son of God, He who overcame all temptation through the crucifixion. He was willing, don't forget, even to be crucified, to kill the ego, to die on His own cross for the joy that was to come. Now the death on the cross is the death of the human. And when that happens, then there is nothing left in that one but God. This is something to strive for, something to attain. So get rid of your guilt complexes. And for those who are unmarried, God has given you the most wonderful opportunity of marriage with the infinite beloved. And if you will but make the effort to contain and to control, then the day when this perfect marriage takes place will be the day of your own fulfillment. So work toward that and think about it. But for heaven's sakes, stop feeling guilty. The hospitals, the institutions today are filled with people who are there because they've developed guilt complexes. If you keep your mind focused upon God and do the very best you can, asking forgiveness when you fall, and then picking yourself up and carrying your cross again, the day will come when all of this will be overcome and you will be radiant with the light of God. I and my Father are one. Blessed Spirit, I am He. Work for that day. That is the ultimate. God is with you. His blessings are with you. All it needs are your blessings. Count your blessings and go forward, putting your hand in His, trusting Him, and learn to live life as it should be lived, in love, in laughter, in work, in service to the divine. This is the true meaning of life. Let us all go forth together in His name, worshiping Him until we come to that sacred moment. O Heavenly Father, Divine Mother, open my eyes that I may see Thy face. Open my ears that I may hear Thy footsteps everywhere. Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
Open my heart that I may feel the glory of Thy love.
O Heavenly Father,
may
Thy love shine forever.
May Thy love shine forever.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
Upon the sanctuary of my devotion.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
May I be able to awaken Thy love in all hearts.
And bring them to Thee.